the latest episode of Public Power Now. I'm Paul Champoli, APPA's news director. Our guest in this episode is Kevin Bim, general manager of the Louisiana Energy and Power Authority, a joint action agency. Kevin, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
So, Kevin, you started your career at the authority in 1996. Can you detail your career path at the JAA and leading up to your current role as general manager?
Yes, I was hired on as resource planning engineer with LEPA back in 96. My role was basically doing our planning for our budgeting process. I was in that role for about a year, and then I was asked to be a support services manager for the authority. In that role, I was over our technical aspects. We had technicians that supported our home office here in Lafayette, Louisiana, and also our power plants out in the field. We were also over our energy control center, which involved our EMS system. Part of that role back in 1999 was replacing our EMS system because our current system was not Y2K compliant at that point. So I was in that role for about 4 years, and then I moved up to assistant general manager in 2001. So I was in that role for 18 years, and obviously in that role, I was pretty much over all of the LEPA operations, our power plant operations, the control center, accounting, technical services. And then in 2019, I moved up to the general manager role when our existing general manager at that time retired. And so I've been in that role for going on 5 years now.
I would imagine there's a lot of obvious advantages of kind of not coming into a role from an outside organization where you've really kind of your experience has allowed you to get insights into various operations at the authority, right?
Yeah. You know, one of the benefits here at LEPA is we are a small organization. With our power plant operations, we probably have 31, 32 employees. You know, like actually, I think APPA even has an award they give for multiple hats that people wear.
Yep.
And that's one of the benefits of being in a small organization. You get a lot of rounding in different areas. And yeah, that certainly helped me through my years here at LEPA and my experience.
Right. Yeah. So you kind of segued into my next question was just kind of if you could offer an overview of the authority for listeners who may not be familiar with it.
Yeah. So LEPA is the joint action agency in the state of Louisiana. We were formed back in 1979 through legislation here in the state. So we are what they term a political subdivision of the state of Louisiana. The short story on that is, like I tell people, we are basically set up as a municipal would, except we don't have citizens. So we fall under all the same rules and guidelines as a municipality. We have 19 member cities today. We are looking to increase that to 20, hopefully in the next month or so. So our governance is each of those 19 member cities has a director and alternate that sits on our board of directors, and that is the entity that regulates our organization. You know, the investor-owned utilities and the cooperatives in the state are all regulated by the Louisiana Public Service Commission, but LEPA is actually regulated by the cities that make up our membership.
So you mentioned your member cities, and actually one of the kind of the jumping off points for me in terms of my interest in interviewing, it was of recent news involving the city of Abbeville and the town of Gaydon, which recently selected the authority as a wholesale electric provider. So in that context, what are the ways in which that city and town are going to benefit from having the authority as their wholesale electric provider?
So, well, one of the things is LEPA is a nonprofit organization. So of those 19 member cities that I mentioned earlier, today, 9 of those, we service what we term full requirements electricity, which means every kilowatt hour that flows over the main transformer of that city, LEPA supplies. Some of it we supply through our own resources, some from the market, some from bilateral arrangements, but every one of those kilowatt hours comes from us. What happens is because we are nonprofit, anytime a new member comes in as a full requirements member, those costs get distributed over more billing units. So not only does the cost for the new member go down, but the cost for our existing full requirements members also goes down, which is a benefit for everyone. One of the other benefits that I find is when a city is serviced, say through an IOU or a co-op or whoever that supplier is, once they sign a contract, that term is set. So if there's any changes that happen, and say it's a five-year contract, if any changes in the market happen during that 5 years, that city has no ability to go back to their supplier and be able to negotiate something different. The term is set, the conditions are set. With LEPA, once we have a new member come on and say we're at 9 full requirements members now, about to be 11 with Abbeville and Gaydon, it's a constant communication because, as I said earlier, we are regulated by them. They sit on our board. So if there's something that we need to change because of changes in the marketplace or with natural gas prices or coal prices or anything like that, they have the ability through us and the LEPA staff communicating with them to make changes as the contract is moving forward.
And that's huge, obviously, given the, I think it's fair to say that volatility in the energy markets is not going away anytime soon, right?
Yeah, I don't think volatility in the electric market has ever gone away or right. ever will.
Yeah, I guess it's just a matter of degrees, right? So yeah, that's great, great set of details. So thanks for offering that. So Kevin, just to kind of wrap up our conversation, I want to kind of take a bigger picture look at the Southeast region and give you an opportunity to talk about some of the key challenges facing the utility sector in the region and how LEPA is helping its member cities successfully meet those challenges.
Well, when you talk about challenges, I think it's not only in the Southeast region. I think it's probably countrywide or US-wide, and it's on both fronts. When you look at generation and load, you know, on the generation side, obviously we're on the forefront of the energy transition that everyone's talking about going. You know, you've got a lot of coal plants that are being retired, even some legacy natural gas units. And when you start retiring dispatchable resources and replacing them with renewable resources, that transition in and of itself is going to be a challenge. And then when you start looking at load, you know, a lot of these data centers are coming online. They're talking, the next thing is going to be AI and the additional load that's going to bring for these systems, and just manufacturing that's coming back to the U.S. When you look at both of those fronts, I think that's going to be probably in the next 5 to 10 years an extreme challenge to the electric industry as a whole. And I think one of the things that's going to help that is going to be technology. I think it's as more cities and entities roll out the AMI, I think that's going to present some unique opportunities. You know, you're talking about EV vehicles being charged and being able to push back onto the grid. So that there's a lot of moving parts right now that I think, you know, we were talking about the electric industry has always been transitioning, but I think right now is probably going to be the next 5 or 10 years are going to be critical to the industry.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that. So, well, Kevin, thanks again for taking the time to speak with us today. And perhaps around this time next year, we'd love to have you back as a guest on the podcast.
Sure. I'd be happy to do it. Thanks, Paul.
Sure thing. Thanks for listening to this episode of Public Power Now, which is produced by Julio Guerrero, graphic and digital designer at APPA. I'm Paul Schimpoli, and we'll be back next week with more from the world of public power.